Heichal Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 76 in the series entitled The Positive Effect of Negative Thinking. This class was recorded live at Heichal Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, on the 13th of Tammuz, 5759.
Chapter 29 of the Tanya, Perek Chavtes. In this chapter, the Alter Rebbe takes on the issue of Timtum Halev, numbness of the heart, or emotional paralysis, if you wish, which is a part of our life, discussing how one is to respond to such a condition, which is it's not an uncommon condition, and how one can rid himself from this state. As discussed last week, Timtum Halev, which literally means a stopped heart or a plugged heart, is a condition which causes a lifelessness in the heart, a certain heaviness, where man's emotions remain unimpressed, unmoved, uninspired, totally unstimulated. Similar to the atzvus condition, to the melancholy or sad or the depression state discussed in previous chapters, but unlike that sadness which also blocks, so to speak, the heart and doesn't allow us to feel ourselves and to be motivated, that sadness he discussed earlier causes heaviness of the heart, but the cause for it is concern, worries, burdens, problems. Therefore, the way to address that sadness is to deal with the cause, with the burdens in your life, with the concerns that are perturbing you, that are schlepping you down, that are bogging you down, that are making you depressed. Those concerns may vary drastically from physical issues to psychological issues to spiritual issues to emotional issues discussed in chapters 26 and 27 and 28. Here, the emotional numbness and paralysis also creates that heaviness in the heart, but rather, the cause is another cause. The cause, the Alter Rebbe said, is not certain concerns or worries or burdens, but is rather the smugness, the arrogant ego of the animal consciousness, of the animal soul in man, which has become bloated and inflated itself and does not allow man's inner spiritual energy to penetrate the heart. So Timtum Halev is a type of complacency, a smug heart, which finds itself comfortable in the place that it is, and it's not motivated to continue to go to the next level. S- sometimes there are human beings that have an essential dullness in their senses. You have a person who you may call a dull person. This person is essentially uninspired by what someone else would be inspired. Take, for example, poetry, music, art. Some people, it does not talk to them. It doesn't resonate with them. It doesn't touch any chord in their life. There's people that are uninspired by the finer elements of life, by the more refined components of existence. It's a condition. Here, this human being that Alter Rebbe addressing is sensitive. He does have the ability to appreciate the finer elements. Yesterday he did. But today he could not care less. Careless, apathetic, indifferent, complacent, and so forth. This is Timtum HaLev. And what does it express itself practically? So the Alter Rebbe says it expresses itself in two areas. A, you can't daven, you can't pray. The person is simply incapable of experiencing prayer. He cannot open his heart. And B, it also expresses itself in his inability to refuse the permissible. He is not motivated. Timtum HaLev doesn't allow you to lose your moral fiber. You become a totally careless human being who's capable of doing everything. No. Transgressions, he will still stay away from as a result of a certain conviction and morality that dictates his life. But to refuse the permissible, for that you have to be not just moral on some level. You have to be living a godly life. You have to be excited about living a spiritual life. And he doesn't experience that excitement. Not because he has doubts. Not because he has philosophical questions. Most of us don't have these problems. He doesn't have big doubts in faith and so forth. He can learn and meditate and understand. But it doesn't appeal to his emotions. And emotions equals the subjective self. Mind symbolizes the abstract truths, and emotions means what I care about, what I'm excited about, what I'm motivated. So to refuse the permissible, you have to be inspired. You have to take it serious on an emotional level. Because it's not forbidden. You're not like, you don't feel you're destroying the world, or you're destroying yourself, or you're destroying your family. You have to be excited in a positive way. Timtum HaLev does not allow him to experience that. So how does one deal with it? Here the Alter Rebbe will not come and deal with certain burdens and concerns and worries. Rather, since the problem is coming, as he identifies it, and it's powerfully fascinating how the Alter Rebbe identifies the cause of Timtum HaLev. Look at your life. Is there something specifically perturbing you? Is there anything wrong? Not necessarily. You have many burdens today that you don't know how to solve, many issues? Not necessarily. So what is going on? Zogda Alter Rebbe, the psychological shell in a person's life has become inflated, it has inflated itself to the extent that it creates a blockage where the inner energy of spirituality existing in every Jew inherently cannot be expressed, cannot flow to the heart and motivate the emotional arteries of the human being. The ego inflates itself, it does not let anything pass through it. Sometimes we all have the ego, but sometimes it's somewhat diminished. So the soul can also pass through. So there's some level of excitement at times. Here, it has become bloated to the extent that it stops it. It covers it. So the soul remains locked away, and your heart is not receiving the necessary liquids it needs from the soul. So what happens? It turns into stone. Nasa Halev Kevin. Nasa Kevin, it turns into stone. It's not receiving the watery liquids it needs from its neshama. That's the condition. He defined what is happening. So what's the solution? The solution he quoted from the Zayar in Parsha Shlach, just like a log, a thick log will not catch fire because it's too dense. So the same is true concerning man, that sometimes he doesn't catch fire from the soul, from your spiritual consciousness, because there is a very powerful density created from the animal soul. What do you do to the log? It must be splintered. It must be shattered. And then it could catch fire. So what must happen to the human being? The shell, the bubble, the inflation must be shattered. It must be splintered. The complacency, the smugness that the animal soul introduces must be shattered. It must be deflated, splintered. Then, like the log, it could suddenly become sensitive to the soul. Not so thick. When you crack it, it could catch fire. The fire of the soul can then permeate the human being and penetrate him. Truth be told, we often get timtum halev, this emotional paralysis, and we get rid of it through external circumstances. There are things in life that break us. Sometimes a person has a certain emotional apathy, and then conditions in his life come up. Pressures of life, difficult experiences, which everyone experiences. That's the way how Hashem made it. You're careless, and then something breaks you and your ego surrenders. And it allows you to feel. Sometimes people are incapable of feeling anything, feeling a real feeling till that happens, because the shell is so inflated that until something external comes into the person's life, heaven forbid, it breaks the bubble, it breaks the cover, it breaks the husk. The ego surrenders, the ego says, okay, I give up. Now you can feel yourself. You have a soul. The Alter Rebbe's premise is that a person cares. A person is not apathetic. It's not the natural state. A human being has a godly, divine, exciting, spiritual, transcendental consciousness that's motivated, that's inspired, that's alive and well. That's not even a creature of this world. It's a creature of the deepest, highest spiritual worlds. But that inner soul is not allowed to come out to express itself. And then when the shell is broken, the bubble has been busted, you shattered the ego, now it refills you with life, with a new energy. The log was splintered, the log was shattered, it becomes sensitive to a fire. Now your heart can be re-irrigated with the waters of the soul. Here the Alter Rebbe suggests, what do you have to allow external circumstances to do it? Do it to yourself. That first of all can take long, it can take weeks, months, years, some people decades. It will happen. In most cases, it will happen. But what do you need? Who has time to wait decades to begin experiencing your soul? Even months? Even weeks? You do it! That's A, time. Simply time calculation. B, also it's much better when you do it to yourself. It's geschmacker. When you break yourself, it's better than when life breaks you. You, we of course mean not the real you, the ego. Very good. If you induce it, you can control the volume. You shatter yourself. You crush the smug spirit on your own. Splinter the log and the fire will come in. Problem is, This Dalai Rebbe doesn't address in this chapter because it's a given based on what he discussed in other chapters. When you are under the influence of Timtum Halev, you can't identify with the message Dalai Rebbe is saying. Part of Timtum Halev is the carelessness to identify with the fact that something has to be changed. That is the problem. I have a little confession to make. For some reason I find that following the Sunday morning Tanya class, that week I personally experienced in a very powerful way the challenges that the Alter Rebbe addressed in that chapter we learned on Sunday. I don't know the reason for it, but I think I once heard from the Rebbe who said that whenever a Jew or human being takes on a resolution to engage in a certain positive act or to abstain from a certain negative act, the Rebbe said, remember, the first few hours and days will be the most difficult. All the impulses and cravings and urges that you thought you had in the past that did not allow you to abstain from this negative behavior will now be reinforced in a much more powerful and intense fashion. Why? Because the evil inclination, the animal soul, is smart. It knows that it's going to break the resolution and the commitment from the outset. So you make a commitment, I'm going to abstain from this behavior for the next year. Tonight, the urge and the lust not to abstain will be the most powerful you ever experienced. Because it knows if it gets you tonight, you'll tell yourself, hey, who am I fooling, who am I bluffing, and it'll be over. Last Sunday, we learned about Timtum Halev. So the Eibushter Geholfen, that during the week, I almost could not explain it. But it was like, it's difficult to say, but I became totally careless. And I could learn the chapter. I was reading the chapter, and I thought I understood it. I could even repeat it and explain it, maybe. But I found myself totally uninterested in what the Alter Rebbe was saying. It totally did not appeal to me, and I wasn't interested in it appealing to me. It didn't bother me that it didn't appeal to me. That's a certain complacency. The heart turns numb and dead. Explain to me. Ich verstehe. I'll explain it to you. And I'll explain it to you even better. But it was totally, totally unappealing. Totally careless about it. And then I realized that when you have Timtum Halev, I didn't realize it then. Friday morning, thank God, I overcame it. But now I realize when you have it, you're uninterested. You don't identify with the condition that he's talking about. Because that is what Timtum Halev is. So you have to suddenly rely on your mind. You have to rely on what you remembered before you had it. And rely partially on the Alter Rebbe's advice. And it has, the Alter Rebbe's advice has a certain magical power to it. I don't want to use the word magical because it sounds supernatural. Essentially, this is not a supernatural course. But I do use that word because when you have Timtum Halev, it doesn't make sense to you. Because you're careless about it. But following the course of action, which the Alter Rebbe suggests, a person shattering himself and breaking the ego, is the instrument which allows us to rid ourselves, at least to a significant degree, from that condition. Even when we're not in the mood of it. What is the way he suggests where one can subdue his inflated ego? What is the method? First and foremost, we learned, it's by meditating upon the fact that the very consciousness of self experienced by the ordinary man, the Beinoni, is an expression of the Klipa philosophy. The awareness of identity as perceived by the average human being is that of the Klipa perception, of the husk concealing forces in reality. Namely, the very perception of self. The awareness that I exist. as we experience it is an outgrowth of the masking forces that Hashem allowed to emerge in this world to conceal the reality of reality. Reality is that all existence has no name, no identity, existing within the face of Hashem's intimate self, as discussed at length in chapters 20 and 21 and 22, 23, 24, and so forth. But the identity we sense is not the identity of the divine soul, it's the identity of the animal soul, of the self-oriented, self-directed, self-focused soul. So that very definition of self, before you do anything, the way we experience ourselves is already that of the klipa perception, not of the kedusha perception. It's coming from the perception of those instincts and those philosophies that are born only out of concealment, out of darkness, which don't allow us to experience what is reality. Even if this person never sins, Beinoni. The Alter Rebbe continues, the very consciousness within us, or within him, that entertains the conception of sin as a pleasurable phenomenon, that very consciousness that perceives that which Hashem finds abominable, as exciting, as pleasurable, demonstrates the deep lowliness of this person and his remoteness from reality, meaning from Hashem, even if he never sins. The Beinoni who just experiences a negative thing as something pleasurable, that which Hashem finds despicable, that demonstrates his remoteness. Furthermore, the Alter Rebbe suggested, he meditate upon the abuse that he or she wrought upon his soul during the younger years, by mistreating and wasting the most precious and sacred element of man's life, his regenerative, his procreative substances, even if he has returned, repented, and healed, in spiritual healing, in tshuva, which is an emotional process, the Alter Rebbe says, there are myriads of levels. So even if the healing of the past sufficed for the past, now when the person has grown and developed, the scars of the past may reemerge relative to his new, more sensitive and deeper level. And that might be the reason for the emotional numbness he or she is experiencing, that barrier of the previous transgressions in such a precious area of one's life. And therefore, a deeper healing is required. That was basically the point Alter Rebbe discussed till here. Now let's continue. It's a good question. You say, Mele Shabbos morning or Sunday morning in America before davening. You can deal with them tomorrow. You have some time to meditate upon these concepts. But Monday morning, Tuesday morning, you wake up in the morning, your emotions are paralyzed, you come into shul. What do? 20 seconds? You have 30 seconds, 40 seconds. If you feel you have tumtum alev, set your alarm clock earlier. Do it the night before. to it the night before. Timtum Halev sends warnings. Sends its warnings. You can feel it coming sometimes. The night before is also a good time to do it. One of the Alter Rebbe's great chassidim, I mentioned his name last week, was Reb Pinchas Roizes. He was the chief oral scribe of the Alter Rebbe, who transcribed many of his Hasidic discourses. Reb Pinchas Roizes from Shklov. So he once related a story to Reb Yaakov Kadaner, who transcribed it in his storybook, Likutei Sipurim, that once he was traveling with the Alter Rebbe. When night came, they stopped at an inn to stay over for the night. The Alter Rebbe came into an inn, and there were chassidim who were staying there. So the Alter Rebbe began delivering a chassidic exposition, discussing the spiritual and emotional preparation that is needed prior to prayer, namely this particular issue of deflating the smug ego of the animal soul. The owner of the inn was a very pious Jew, a God-fearing human being, a Yedei HaSefer, pretty learned Jew, but totally uneducated in the literature of Jewish mysticism and spirituality, Kabbalah and Chassidus. So the Alter Rebbe noticed that he really did not comprehend anything of the Hasidic discourse, and he was extremely frustrated and depressed within. So the Alter Rebbe turns to him and says, "Mayid, did you understand what we were talking about?" And he says, "No, Rebbe, I didn't understand one word." So the Alter Rebbe said, "You learn Mishnayos?" He says, "Of course." "Do you learn Seder Nashim, the third section of the Shisha Sidri Mishnah dealing with women's issues?" He says, "Of course." "Did you ever learn Masichta Kiddushin, the tractate of Kiddushin dealing with marriage?" He says, "Of course." The Alter Rebbe said, "This is the first Mishnah of Kiddushin." What's the connection with the first Mishnah of Kiddushin? The Mishnah begins, "Ha'isha niknis b'shalish drachim." A woman is betrothed, enters into the covenant of marriage through one of three ways: b'kesef, b'shtar, or b'biyah. Either through money, through a document, or through intimate relations. B'kesef, through money, the man presents to her a gift of money or of monetary value with the intention and stating specifically that this is given to her with the intention of marrying her, of betrothing her, either through presenting her a marital document which states that she is betrothed to him, or through intimate relations, biya. So the Gemara immediately on the Beis Amir Aleph in the beginning of Kedushin asks the question, the kesef minalon, from where do we know that money is a valid method through which you can betroth a woman? And the Gemara responds, "Kicha kicha mizdei Ephraim." We learn it, we derive this law from an equation with the story of the field of Ephraim. Concerning marriage, the Torah uses the term in Parshas Kisetzi, "Ki yikach ish isha." When a man will take a wife. Concerning Avraham, who wanted to purchase a field from Ephraim the Hittite in which he can bury his wife Sarah, we also find the term kicha, taking. Avraham tells Ephraim, "Nasati kesef asada, I have given you the money for the field. Kach mi meni, take it from me." Zog the Gemara, just as in the case of Zdei Ephraim, the field of Ephraim, the acquisition was achieved through money. So from here we also derive that in Kiddushin and marriage issues, the acquisition, the betrothal, the marriage with man and woman can be achieved through money. Everybody knows. One of the cornerstones of Kabbalah and Chassidus, it's based on what the Zohar explicitly writes, that every law, every mitzvah, has its physical dimension, and also has its spiritual, psychological, and emotional counterpart. As discussed at length in chapter 4 and chapter 2 of the Tanya. So, Hamachlif Parah B'Chamor, there's a law, if you exchange a cow for a donkey, in this world we learn it as a cow and a donkey. In the psychological world, where there's no physical cow and donkeys, it's explained, Chassidus tells us, as a human being who has an animal soul, which is really a cow, but he thinks it's like a donkey, so therefore he's using the methods that are required to deal with an animal soul, which is donkey-like. He uses the methods for his animal soul, which is really cow-like, or converse. And the problems that may result from that inaccurate assessment of your psychological animal soul. For example, Zog Dal Tereba Ha'isha Niknes B'Shalosh Drachim. The woman, the Jewish people are considered the bride, Hashem, the groom, the chasen. The woman, Hashem, the Jewish people may be betrothed, may be acquired, may enter into a bond, a relationship with their spiritual divine soul, with Hashem, in one of three ways. Bekesef, through kesef. Kesef, the etymology of the word kesef, is nichsef, nichsafta labeis avich. It comes from the word kisafin, yearning, pining, aspiring. Through kesef, through yearning, through love, through passion. Experienced in prayer. Or bishtar, through the written document, through Torah, learning Torah. Or bia, intimate relations. The first two, the Alter Rebbe said, exist nowadays. When Mashiach comes, there'll be a new level to the relationship, an intimate relation with Hashem, which is a relationship face-to-face and total union and bonding in the most intimate fashion. And the Gemara immediately asked the question, V'kasef minalon, where in the world are you going to get a love and a yearning to God? And Alter Rebbe said in Yiddish, Mir seinen ungetanen agraber gasus de kirguf. Our souls are deeply enclosed and embedded in a thick, smug, complacent physical shell. Kesef minalon. Where are you going to find kesef in this world? Where are you going to find within yourself the capacity to love spirituality? Not just to behave in a certain way, to love it, to become excited. And for the Gemara, kicha, kicha. You can find it, you can take it, not just once, but twice. Karoi ve'lecha adavar miyayit. Kicha, kicha. You can take it, and you can further take it, mizdei efrin. If you first turn into a zdei efrin. If you take the ego and the shell, and you shatter it, you make it into a field of Ephraim. A field and a field of Ephraim, Ephraim, Ayin Fei Reish, which the etymology of the word is Afar, earth, dust, sand. If one deflates the shell, the husk that's concealing, so then the kesef, the inner dynamics of the soul that are pre-existing, will flow in a very powerful and intense and unlimited fashion. But first you have to have stay Ephraim to remove the blockage, to remove the barriers, to remove the walls and the partitions. The story has an ending. This was by night. The night he came to the inn, the next morning, prior to his traveling from there, to his journeying from there, the Alter Rebbe delivered another Hasidic discourse. And this dealt with the drastic difference between the relationship of Hashem to the Jewish people in Beis Hamikdash times, in the times of the Holy Temple, and in exile times. Where in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, the relationship was immediate and direct and conspicuous, in times of exile, Hashem produces and transmits and bestows them with the same communication and the same plenty and the same energy and so forth, but it's through agents. He delegates, so to speak, that transmissions through agents. That's why he explained, in the time of the Holy Temple, a Jew who severed himself from godliness, it meant in a very physical way, physical consequences in his life. The fact that his source of life was Hashem was extremely conspicuous. In exile times, you can sever yourself from Hashem, and nevertheless, it will have no conspicuous effect on your physical life. Because that flow of energy is going through other sources, which you could still continue receiving from even in exile times. It was a very profound discourse. And this Jew is sitting again, and his heart is broken. He doesn't understand the word. Alter Rebbe sees it again. He says, "My Yid, do you understand what we spoke about?" He says, "I didn't understand a word." So Alter Rebbe says, "The second chapter, Masechta Kedushin, you learned. This is the first. The second chapter you learned." He says, "Yeah." He says, "The first Mishnah. Ha'ish mekadesh bayu b'shluchai. A man can betroth a woman, boy, personally, and bishluchai through an agent. You can appoint, designate an emissary, an agent, to go and betroth a woman on your behalf." And the Gemara immediately asks the question. The Gemara opens up with a question. Hashta bishluchai mekadesh, boy mebaya. Now that the Mishnah is telling us that you can betroth a woman through an agent, is it necessary to say that you can do it personally? It's totally superfluous. If you could say, if the Mishnah tells us already that you can betroth someone through an agent, certainly you can do it personally. So it's unnecessary to say that law. It's an extra excessive word. So Rabbi Yosef responds that the Mishnah is coming to tell us that mitzvah ba yeser mebishluchai, that it's a mitzvah to do it personally. It's a greater mitzvah to do it personally than to do it through an agent. So that's why the Mishnah introduces the Ish Mekadosh by, if you can do it by yourself, you do it through Shluch. But the Rebbe says, the spiritual meaning of the Mishnah, Ish Mekadosh. The man, Hashem Ish Mulchama, the groom bride, is Mekadosh. He consecrates, he sanctifies, he connects with the Jewish people, sometimes by, personally, and at other times b'shluchai, through an agent. It's the same energy, it's the same relationship, but it's being delegated through an agent. You don't see his face involved in it. Zog de Gemara, the Mishnah doesn't explain when do we have this relationship and when do we have this relationship. Zog de Gemara, hashta bishluchai. Now, in the spiritual way of learning this Gemara, it's not a question, it's a statement. Hashta, now, nowadays, it's bishluchai. It's through a shliach. Boy, if we want to have a relationship with him personally, mebaya, for this we have to pray, beseech, ask. Baya in Tanakh means prayer, requesting. In Yeshayah there's an expression, tevoyun boyu, if you'll pray, if you'll beseech. Boy, mebaya, for that we have to beg and ask and pray to experience that day when the Ish Mekadosh will be boy. Face to face in an conspicuous and immediate and direct way. Which then there will also be the third level, the third method of Kiddushin, Biyah, the intimate relations in a spiritual, metaphysical way and so forth. So the point being, what's relevant to here is that sometimes the only way you can reach Kesef is through Zdei Ephraim. Zdei Ephraim, that shattering of the shell, allows us to experience a marriage with Hashem through love, which is an emotional experience. So, discussing the various methods through which one can shatter himself, the Alter Rebbe continues. Page 72, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis. the line beginning V'lachein Amar David V'chatasi Nagdi Samit. 9 lines from the bottom. V'gam Mishahu Naki Mechatas Norim HaChamorim. Even he who is innocent of the grievous sins of youth, dealing, as discussed, with mistreating and abusing the most precious elements of man's life as regenerative substances, even someone who is totally innocent from these issues. We have to remember the people to whom the Alter Rebbe was talking. They were simple people, simple Jews, from a spiritual point of view. But among his Hasidim, there were Jews who were of an extraordinary spiritual stature. I dare to say that many of them, if they were not to end up in Chabad, they would become big Rebbes. In Chabad, they were Chassidim of phenomenal spiritual stature. Bali Ruach HaKodesh. You had Chassidim of the Alter Rebbe who experienced Ruach HaKodesh, a certain level of, not prophecy, but a certain level of a divine inspiration, which is Ruach HaKodesh. You had people like Reb Michal Apotzker, Reb Zalman Zesmer. The Chassidim of the Alter Rebbe were tremendous individuals. We once spoke about the fact that he founded in Liozhna 3 yeshivas, 3 chadarim, 3 levels, Cheder Aleph, Cheder Beis, and Cheder Gimel. Yeshiva A, level A, and level B, and level C. And the conditions to be allowed into Cheder Aleph, the first Cheder, was the Jews had to, the people that were admitted to Cheder Aleph, had to know by heart the whole Babylonian Talmud, the whole Jerusalem Talmud, Medrash and Zohar. They had to know well, not by heart, Rambam and all the other major halachic authorities. And they have also had the requirement to have learned through and mastered to a sufficient degree all of the major works of Jewish philosophy. And then they were admitted to begin learning the Alter Rebbe's approach. And essentially this is because what's fascinating about the Alter Rebbe's Shita, the Alter Rebbe's philosophy of Chassidus Chabad, is that the Alter Rebbe developed it in a fashion after studying and mastering in a rigorous fashion every element of Jewish literature. Of course, Nigla, Halacha, and the whole body of Halacha, Gemara, Shals, Tshuvas, Paiskim, and everything. And the whole body of Kabbalah literature, and the whole body of philosophical literature. And these are 3 distinct bodies. There is Shas, Halacha, and Shulchan Aruch, and so forth. There is Kabbalah as a world for itself. Today it's a touched world, then it was pretty much untouched. Thousands of books in Kabbalah. We are really, really even unaware of how many books of Kabbalah can you name. There are approximately 4,000 books of Kabbalah. 4,000 books. We know 20 books, Arizal, Ramak, some other names. And then there's a whole body of philosophy, which is a world unto itself, beginning with the Guide to the Perplexed, Reb Sadi, Gaon, Reb Yehuda, Levi, and Reb Yosef Alba, and so on, Reb Bag, Reb Levi Ben Gershon, and so on and so forth, just to mention the few most famous. But you have many. The Alter Rebbe mastered them in a realm. I mean, you were dealing with a mind. The Alter Rebbe is defined as an Neshama D'Atzilus. He was a soul that in this world was an expression of the reality of the world of emanation. That's what the Rebbe said on him. He was a Neshama D'Atzilus. And he integrated and he synthesized all elements of Torah and created a unified, comprehensive program for life based on an integration of all the elements, making them not just abstract elements, but a program for life. So every discourse of the Alter Rebbe has in it a synthesis, an essential synthesis, mamash, of the whole Torah literature. So that's why his chadarim, the conditions were these conditions. For the other 2 levels, there were little smaller requirements. Not that he was he was satisfied with this. The Alter Rebbe wanted to reach out and to inspire all types of Jews, all of those. But these were, so to speak, the chadarim, the melting pots. that molded and crafted his deep, deep Hasidim, who then really became the chief transmitters of his perspective in Russian and White Russian and Lithuania and so on and so forth. So, based on this, the Alter Rebbe can say, even someone who knows that he's totally pure from any chatas norim, even in his youth, he can say, no, I never had any relationship with it. That's why the meditation in this chapter, you see, if he was only talking to us, he didn't have to go great lengths to find meditations through which they can shatter their shell. Here the meditation begins. The meditation to break the ego begins and consists of the fact that they entertain the idea that sin can be a pleasurable phenomenon. Period. Doesn't go any further. We wouldn't have to dig so deep. They never sinned. They never even craved to sin. Let me go ahead and sin. They never had that thought. They entertained the fact that it can be pleasurable and they immediately sent it away from their psyche. Then he continued past sins, past chatas norim, even though you did shuvah today. If we would use ourselves as the model, we wouldn't have to probe so deep. You can find a lot more. The numbness of the heart could come because of sins that I committed this morning or last night. I don't have to go back to when I was 12 years old or 17 years old. The point is the same by all. The timtum comes from Klippa, but the model which is used varies drastically. So here the Alter Rebbe is addressing even a man who can say very clearly that he is innocent of any type of abuse that we may afflict upon our souls during our younger years, known as Chatas Norim. Even such a type of individual experiencing some type of timtum alem, and he wants to break the spirit of unholiness within him, Zog Dal Terebbe, Yasim Eliba, he should take to his heart L'kayim Maimer Zoyer HaKadosh, to fulfill the counsel of the Holy Zoyer in Parshas Korach, Liyos Memarei D'Chushban, to be a master of accounts, to make a real account, a cheshbon, an evaluation of his life. Da'ainu, this means, la'aseis cheshbonim nafshe, he should take stock with his soul, mikol ha'machshavos va'adiburim va'hamais shecholfu va'avru, of all his thoughts, utterances, and actions that have come and gone, since the day he came into being and until the present day, were they all of the realm of holiness, or of the realm of impurity, God forbid.